So I'm hopeful that this will help to show that I'm working with the permit office and trying to make that work. I also have an exciting opportunity that I wanted to share with you guys. This is a passion project of mine, and I'm over the moon happy. It's taken me a year to make this work, but I have been accepted by the USDA to directly accept EBT on my small individual farm. With the nursery permit, I'll be able to sell fresh, small-grown vegetable plants, and folks can buy them through EBT and then grow along with me, and we can grow the same crops together in the same area. I think this will help me create a community of folks that love fresh food and really reach out to folks that way. This is my hope that you'll look at the local farm ordinances and see how they disproportionately affect very small disabled farmers such as myself. And it really restricts my ability to provide for our community. These ag rules weren't meant for small farms like ours, especially small. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
It's okay. Yeah, you can summarize if you like. Go ahead.
Especially for small farms that don't have a house on them. I'm trying to keep the prime ag land in ag use.
Well, let us know how Cynthia gets you through that process and keep us up to date.
I'm working with her, and I just...
Thank you, ma'am.
I was hoping for...
You bet.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Annie Bowski, and I'm here with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. I wanted to share with the Paso Robles residents that SLCOG is hosting 6 countywide community workshops to engage with residents about the Local Roads First initiative, a potential countywide transportation tax measure that may be on the November 2026 ballot. So we want to invite all residents to these workshops, which are designed to give them a chance to meet directly with SLCOG staff, learn more about the county's transportation funding challenges, and share their own priorities for local roads. We know that road maintenance, safety, and long-term transportation planning are concerns that affect every community within the county. And Local Roads First is about exploring how we can invest in these needs together with dedicated local funding that stays here within Sloan County. We encourage community members to attend a workshop in their area or an online session and share their perspectives. Input from residents is critical to ensuring the initiative reflects the real needs of the local communities. There have been 2 successful workshops already, and there are 4 more this week and next, with one more workshop being held in North County and a virtual one on the 15th. The last North County workshop is going to be Thursday, October 9th, and that'll be at Centennial Park in the Live Oak Room. So we invite all residents to please join us. And I just want to say thank you for your time, and we look forward to hearing from residents about the Local Roads First initiative. And for more information and official times, they can visit localroadsfirst.com.
When is the October 9th at Centennial? What?
October 9th in the Live Oak Room from 6 to 7.
6 to 7.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can find all the information on the website.
And what's the website again?
It's localroadsfirst.com, or if you go to the SLCOG website, it's the first thing you'll see.
Yeah. Thank you for being here tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Murray, I thought I see you back there. Come on up.
Murray Powell, Templeton resident, vice chair of TAG, not representing TAG. I'm also a member of the county Republican Central Committee, not representing the committee tonight. So good to see you guys again.
Wow. Yeah.
Back again. Couple things. One, I wanted to follow up at the last meeting, I had indicated that we had a PRA request that was not responded in time, and then heard from the county council, and I checked with your city clerk the next day and found that in my emails, didn't recognize her name, was on the email. Was a little bit late, not much, no big deal. So, but anyway, in that response, she indicated that hopefully she would have information for us by the 15th of this month. And it's a detailed request, but it's a simple one. It's about recounting the 218 voting that failed, and we know that it will continue to fail, but we believe that the actual majority protest vote count was low, because we had done a preliminary review with a consultant on it, and that was indicated. But the problem is these records are not being maintained here. They are, last I heard anyway, they are being maintained in Bakersfield at the Hallmark Consulting Office. And those records by PRA Act have to be here, and they have to be available now for public review. And I haven't heard, I've talked to the consultant, and I haven't heard back since that conversation a couple weeks ago. And they also received this PRA request, and they haven't responded to that. And I'm concerned that these records are not here and not available for the public to go over. So I'd like you guys to look into that. The other item I'd like to talk about real quick is the Paso Basin Authority. They had a meeting a couple of weeks ago. They have a budget now that because of the failed 218 funding, that is not providing any funds to do what they were created for, which is to implement the basin plan that went into effect in 2020. And it's time to start looking at it, because the budget they have basically is funding their legal counsel and consultants, but they're not saving any water. And that budget only goes to December. And by the GPA formation document, if funding isn't available, reasonable funding, by June of next year, that whole authority will be terminated. So I hope you guys get on it, because once again, there's no GSA agenda item to report on any of these problems tonight, once again.
Thank you. Anyone else? Welcome.
Gloria Fame, I'm here tonight as part of the Democratic Club of Paso Robles. I just want to announce that on October 18th, there is a countywide No Kings number 2 demonstration at Monterey and Los Osos at 11 a.m. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Okay. Seeing none. Do we have anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and close public comment. And Pro Tem Gregor?
Angelica, could you explain the history of the change of the MOU for ECHO to Linda George? Thank you.
Angelica Fortin, Community Services Director. So a previous city council meeting, council approved an amendment with ECHO Paso Robles to move from providing 5 nightly shelter beds to providing a full 90-day program. The 90-day program has proven to be a more successful path to permanent housing. So there are actually several programs throughout the state that are moving towards that model. ECHO did receive funding through the county to offer warming services this winter, starting in November. They will be opening up 10 nightly beds. They will be weather-based beds. So those beds will be available based on the temperature and whether or not there will be rain predicted.
We still have the one emergency bed, though.
Still in our agreement have one bed that can be assigned by Paso PD or fire specifically. But that bed is available for their assignment. So if they do encounter someone needing shelter, it allows them to be able to place.
Got it.
And the warming shelter starts at the beginning of November?
It's in November, and I apologize, I don't have an exact date, but it's in November.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Okay, we'll move on then on to agendas, items to be deferred. Acting City Manager Ryan Cornell, do we have?
No, sir, not tonight.
Okay, Ryan, thank you. Tonight we have, next up is the consent calendar, and if we can have Ryan do an overview of the items on consent calendar before we talk about them and vote on them.
Thank you, sir. We have 14 items on the consent calendar this evening. The first item is the approval of the September 16th, 2025 City Council meeting minutes. The second item is receipt of advisory body minutes, including the Youth Commission for August 11th, 2025, and the Parks and Rec Advisory Commission on August 11th, 2025. The third item is an approval of a memorandum of understanding between the city and the Paso Robles Housing Authority. It clarifies some formation language that has been going on in the past. The fourth item is the receipt of the warrant register. Since the last check run, where there has been a total disbursements of $3,521,222. There are six items that are a significant note over $100,000. The first one is Mont McDonald LLC, and that's for the plan specs and estimates for the Union Road overcrossing in the amount of $202,321.62. The next two are pass-through payments related to the Travel Paso and the countywide tourism district. The first one for the county is for $143,315.81, and the second one is for $190,225.62. The next payment is to Cantana O'Toole Olson LLP. This is the settlement and release payment that was approved at the last council meeting for $250,000. The next item is Sousa Construction. This is construction costs related to the Flimson pedestrian improvements for $164,918.59. And then lastly, we have J.J. Fisher. This is construction costs related to the pickleball courts on Sherwood Park for $242,473.15. Back on the consent calendar, item number five is the approval of information cybersecurity services renewal. Item number six is the approval and second reading by title only and adoption of ordinance number 1163, which amends Title 9 of the Municipal Code to include park regulations. Item number seven is approval of Del Evers public art installation at the intersection of Park and 12th Street. Eighth item is approval of an agreement with Venair Construction to provide construction management services for Crescent Road Phase 2 projects. Item number nine is the approval of a change order to Hartswell Construction for Sherwood Neighborhood Waterline upgrades and repairs. Item number 10 is an approval of a change order to the contract with Stantec for project approval and environmental documents for the Nibbick Road Corridor Plan. Item number 11 is a second reading and adoption of ordinance number 1162 to rezone property at 2508 Spring Street from T4F to TCZ. Two zoning district. Say that one four times fast. Number 12 is approval of an oak tree removal permit, 25-05. It's a removal of one coast live oak tree at 915 Olive Street. Item number 13 is an approval of a resolution authorizing execution of amendment number 3 to the engineering services contract with M&S Engineering for additional engineering services. And lastly, item number 14 is the approval of a right-of-way agreement for the right turn lane and public utility easement on Nibbick Road. With that, Mr. Mayor, happy to take any questions you might have.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Any questions on the agenda that we have set up on us? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and say this, that the items on consent calendar are considered routine and not normally require separate discussion. However, any member of the council or the public that have specific questions or clarification on an item, we will address them now before the vote is taken. If a full discussion is desired by a member of the council or the public, the item will be removed to consent and then go down to the discussion list of agenda items tonight. I will ask council now if they have any questions on items to be pulled. Anything? Over here, Chris? And I'll ask then the public, anybody have any questions on any items on the consent item tonight? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and then bring it back to council.
Mayor Hammond, I move that we approve items 1 through 14 on this consent agenda.
So we have a motion by Gregory, second by Bausch.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, Bausch.
Okay.
Call it second. Any discussion? Okay, then we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
I do have a quick question, though. I'm not sure really who to address this to, and it's not really related to item 3, which was the Housing Authority. But do we have any relationship with the Chet Daughter facility anymore? I'm not sure. Angelica, would you be the one to answer that? We did originally when we built that, I think, with the city, but then it
went. Yes, Mr. Mayor, I think I could probably answer that. We have a long-term loan receivable still outstanding, which for certain developer fees, similar to like the Oak Park developments. And so we still have an outstanding loan. I off the top of my head, I want to say it's in the neighborhood $3 million, but I think that's the only
relationship
we continually have.
Yeah, I know. They're having some problems, I think, with their board, and I was just curious, you know, other than we're basically a lien holder on it, I guess, at this point. So, okay, that's what I have. Thanks, Mark.
I just wanted to acknowledge community development in finding a 1942 Housing Authority document to, so.
You looked that up?
Is that a record?
I think the clerk found those.
Well done, thank you.
Way to go, Melissa. All right. Moving on to item Q1, discussion items, introduction of or title only, and first reading of ordinance adopting 2025 California Building Code Standards and local amendments. Charlie, well, you're going to have that item for us.
Charlie, we're going to have you come and speak more often.
Once every couple
Good
years.
Good evening, Mayor Hammond. So I'm here to present the first reading of the 2025 California Building Code. It's a 3-year cycle. Here's the path of how it goes through the state legislation. Start with state agency workshops, meetings, of course, a 45-day public comment review period, final submittals, meetings, conditions, publication period, and then it's finally published in July 1st. And it takes effect January 1, 2026. So some of the significant changes in the 2025 code, there's a lot of energy code changes. So QII insulation, what that means is quality insulation inspection. So third party verification is required on every new single family residence. So that's quite a big change, getting third party review of insulation. Installations, and then battery ready is another significant change to on 2025 codes, where you'd have to provide 4 circuits and 60 amps of available basically offset to run through a transfer switch for battery operated control. And for future use, you don't have to install the batteries now,
but have to have it ready,
set up for that future use. And then it's pretty clear for gas water heaters and gas space heating that prescriptively they're not allowed at all. And performance through the energy code, you can still get it done, but the trade-offs are unbelievable to get there. So I think the state's really trying to phase out gas water heaters and space heaters. And then another significant change is in the structural portion of buildings. There's a 20% increase in structural factors. So, you know, but for shear walls, what you see today, there'll be 20% increase in value.
Strength, yeah.
Yeah.
Quick question before you roll this slide, though. Gas water heaters, space heaters.
Right.
Is there a way that our city can make a different kind of allowance if we want to allow that?
And in a performance trade-off world, yes. So that's kind of hard to through an energy consultant, they could get you there, but you're going to have trade-offs like higher insulation value of your walls, window factors would be at a higher value to get there, to achieve that.
Going above the minimum that they're requiring.
Right. Right, but beyond the prescriptive requirements and right. performance standard to get there.
What is I had a question on that Q2 insulation. What is that rated? What does that mean?
Quality. So what that means is a third party person is going to come out and look at that installation of the insulation to make sure all four planes of it's touching all four planes. It's not compacted in the stud bays.
That's something that our inspectors wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah. It's well, the state has required third party testing of third party verification beyond what our local inspectors at the state level.
Yes,
I have
Steve,
questions.
Yeah,
on, can
Steve.
I ask a couple questions on this too? So, in layperson's terms, if you use spray foam and get really high insulation value, it releases or it makes the water heater and gas heater regulation easier to meet.
Yes, there would be a set off, a trade off for that in performance. If you chose instead of prescriptive,
right.
you know, requirements, if you chose the performance method, that would be a trade-off to get you there to where you could use a gas-fired water heater.
Yep. And somebody who can do the certification, as an example, is Walter. I can't remember the name of his company. He does the duct insulation and inspections, but I think he's doing
insulation. He's a HERS rater currently?
Yes.
Yes.
So he would be
qualified.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Good, keep going. I just didn't want to interrupt you there too
no
much.
Problem. What's up? Oh, so also the Chapter 7A, the wildland urban interface, we were concerned with this becoming a requirement within the city limits. So at the state level, that's been reorganized into its own section of the building code. However, there aren't any areas within the city limits that are required to meet WUI codes.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Chapter 7.
Good. Good.
So the fire codes and EV charging not allowed. I'm going to have Paul Patty.
Hi.
Speak to this one.
Hi, Paul.
Paul Patty, Fire Marshal, City of Casa Rules. Good evening, Mayor Hammond, City Council. So in the new code update, we're asking to incorporate the EV chargers to not be allowed in underground parking garages that are below grade. We've been specific to make sure that we encompassed everything, subgrade, below grade, above grade. In anything that's going to be having residential component that is above that. And even in structures that we don't have now, but proactively looking for the future, that we, if we have a parking structure that's built, that we don't have EV chargers as part of that either. EV chargers at the time in the parking structures were a good idea until they started seeing what the result was after we've had them for several years in other jurisdictions. And so what we're doing is trying to proactively avoid there being the type of incidents that we've seen throughout jurisdictions in California. So that's the one thing. And if you have any questions on that before I go to the next,
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
So, related to residential, if you have underground parking garage, if you don't have your charger underground, but you have your vehicle underground, and it, can it plug into it, or is the activity totally verboten?
So we can. We also put in a provision that if the topography or we're not able to justify not doing it, that we could allow that within residential type of situations. Ideally, we would not want to have that, and it all stems from the ability to put these vehicles, the fires out, and in the charging stations when they occur. Just to give an example, a regular vehicle fire with an engine compartment fire can take about 150 gallons of water to put out. A typical EV fire takes over 10,000 gallons of water, and that takes time and resources. We have to bring in resources from other jurisdictions. And fortunately, we have not had one of those type of fires here in Paso Robles, but we have seen them throughout California. The reason why in the parking garages that we're talking about not wanting to allow those is because those gases, those toxic gases that build up, they get in the ventilation system if it's a underground for a hotel, and that would require evacuation of the hotel. That fire could continue for extended periods of time, up to a day and a half burning. And so we, like I'm saying, is we're looking proactively about not saying that we don't allow vehicles to be charged with EV, but that would be on the exterior. So most hotels have exterior parking lots, and it would be in those locations. That would be less of a impact to the hotel occupants.
So the risk factor is the battery system catching on fire on the vehicle?
Potentially, yes. Right.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, these are specific to parking scenarios that are below, like a hotel or a residence, and would or would not apply to a standalone parking structure?
No. Actually, I'm sorry. We would like to have them apply to all, because the reasons why for that is not the residential component, but it's the ability, if we do have a parking structure in town and it is multi-story, the ability to get the fire resources up into those structures. San Luis City had a fire in a parking structure, and it caused quite a bit of damage because of the ability to get to it. So we're just looking at saying that it's best if it's not involving part of the structure and its exterior.
Thank you.
Paul, what about the onset of battery packs, battery systems? Are they allowed inside, or are they strictly outside walls?
The ones for like residential, are you talking about those?
Yes, residential, yeah.
Those are inside garages, and they're exterior panels, and it's for the vehicles to privately charge. Those have some safeguards in place to be able to cut the circuit breaker when it senses a fault or such. So those are on a smaller scale. If you look at the bigger ones, such as by the Greenery building, those are bigger types of charging systems, and have more energy built into them. And so with those type of systems, when you have somebody that's at their own residence, they know that they're taking care of their connections and their products, and they're not just throwing their charging connection down and potentially damaging it. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a commercial setting, we don't know that. And the owners of the buildings don't know that. They don't know how well it's being taken care of, because it's not they're having their customers, the tenants or the occupants of the hotels, use those, and they're hoping at best that they treat them like they would their own.
Mm-hmm.
And if these connectors get damaged, it could potentially cause an issue.
Sure.
Even with a car that wouldn't have a problem. And so that's where we're looking to be proactive in that, is if that damage was done and it was missed and it happened on the exterior of the building, it would still cause an incident, but it wouldn't have the effect that it would have on the impact to the community.
Right. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. And the next things that we have on here are fire department connections. Since we have been able to bring all of the commercial buildings into compliance over the last several years with the required testing of Title 19 systems for sprinkler systems. Sorry. We have been able to bring that up to speed. However, we had decades prior to us being able to do that where these systems were not serviced and companies were giving us reports saying that they were serviced. What we noticed is that we were having a lot of component failures because of the water being rusting up the connections, and when they go to test it and remove the parts, that they were failing. So what we're asking for, again, is to be proactive, and we've been in coordination with the testing companies here locally in having a different type of connection behind our fire department connection, our FDC. And so we're looking for a piece that's going to be clamped on instead of threaded on, so that we don't have to worry about when they're doing their testing and they're taking the threads off that there's causing an issue. On top of that, it's the water usage that we have to, when they're doing their testing currently, we have a lot of water that escapes and then is wasted within the community. So we're looking proactively to be able to curb that amount of wasted water during the testing phase by putting these components in that are not going to be significantly more of a cost for the initial contractors to put in. So that's what the fire department connections are talking about.
Okay.
So there's another slide. So I didn't know if there's, because there's two components to those connectors. Any questions on that aspect?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, go.
We're tag teaming this. Deputy Quinley, Deputy Building Official. Hello, Council. So just to clarify and reiterate, we do have the 2024 model codes that California has adopted that will go into effect no matter what we do tonight. Those will be going in effect on January 1st. So it's critical for us to look at these other local ordinances to make sure that we're able to adopt things that are specific to Paso Robles in what we deal with here in this environment. So our options tonight are 1, take no action, or 2, introduce by title only in the first reading of the ordinance, adopting the 2025 California Building Code with local amendments, and schedule a second reading and public hearing pursuant to Government Code Section 6066, which is our recommendation. Or 3, refer back to staff with direction for further analysis. Again, that could potentially cause a little bit of delay in us getting our local ordinance
adopted. That timeline, all right. Okay, thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
All right, any questions of staff? Okay, we'll open up to the public. Anyone wishing to address this item? And Melissa, do we have anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll bring it back to council for direction and or action.
Mayor Hammond.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I'd like to introduce by title only and the first reading of the ordinance number XXX, adopting the 25 California Building Code with local amendments, and schedule a second reading and public hearing pursuant to Government Code Section 6066.
Second.
Okay, motion by Gregory, second by Beal. Discussion. Okay. Call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good.
Thank you. Charlie, you did a good job of clearing the room, too.
All right, moving on. Excuse me. City manager report, actually acting city manager, Ryan Cornell.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you, sir. I have about 24 items to go over.
Really?
Actually, I have 3 items. Real okay. Brief. This is our last city council meeting in this chamber. We are going to be temporarily locating to the Norris Room at Centennial Park. I don't know if the community is aware, but we're going to do a pretty hefty remodel to the city hall upstairs. And so we're going to temporarily be relocating front counter facing activities down in this council chamber. So the council chamber needed to relocate it, and so the Norris Room over at Centennial is where we'll be for about the next 6 months or so.
And where that is, when you walk into Centennial Park, the gym is on our left. That's the direction you're going.
Correct. It's right adjacent to the gym. There will be a outside entry to the temporary chamber.
Yep.
place. So with the upstairs City Hall is projected to take about 4 months worth, and then about 2 months to get audio and video upgrades in this council chamber before we start back here. The next item on my list to share with you is some exciting news. The South Vine Street request for proposal for that bridge construction has finally hit the streets. So we should be getting bids back in the middle of this, November for council approval in December. And then lastly, this weekend, Saturday, is Pioneer Day Parade. It does start at 10 o'clock, and I encourage everybody to go down and have some fun. That would be the conclusion of my report. Thank you, sir. Ryan.
Thank you. We'll move on then to council business and committee reports. Start on my left.
Just a couple of comments. Thank you, sir. Actually, they relate to our proclamations tonight. I want to give a raise my hand for Lumina Alliance. They do such good work, and it's such important work getting emergency shelter, crisis intervention, counseling. And as a little announcement, I will be dancing with the stars for the Lumina Alliance fundraiser in the spring. So that's just a little heads up. Following in Mayor Martin's footprints, I think he danced a few times.
Good.
I was very excited to see the concurrent translation for the ad hoc committee on the food trucks. I thought it was such good governance, right? There was a spirit of sharing and learning. It was interactive. It was very productive. Thought it was just a really great example of how we engage the community and the council and the community members to make the best decisions we can. I attended the fire station open house, and thank you for the tour about everything. And actually, I was happy to see the training center and their use of recycled water. Speaking of water, making sure that we're using that wisely. I have some other things, but I'll be announcing for Pioneer Day with Mr. Joel Peterson. Please come and say hi at the corner of 11th and Park. We'll be there. And I want to thank everybody for your kind words of condolences. I really appreciate it, and thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Your mom and your dad was a great golfer out there. Yeah. Councilman Bausch.
Coincidentally, I too have only three items tonight. The food truck meeting, thank you, Councilmember Beal, and co-hosting that with Councilmember Gregory. I think Councilmember Beal summed that up very nicely. Youth Commission, unfortunately, had to be canceled this month for lack of a quorum. And then I attended the CoLab Forum last week. That was very interesting. We heard a lot about some of the pending energy changes that are coming to the county. Scary times on what is happening, not only with our homes and our businesses, but just throughout energy production in general. That's my report.
Thank you, Chris. Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah. I was able to attend the open house at Station 3 and got to meet a real live Dalmatian friendly doggy, more friendly than Augie, which was pretty amazing. So, but the station looks great, and it was really nice to see your staff out there, and they had a lot of people attending and a lot of dogs. Kind of unusual. Again, on the food truck ad hoc, I thought it went really well. It was nice having the interpreters helping us. And after that meeting, I had quite a lengthy conversation with several of the operators. And on that note, I've been contacted by Brett Butterfield about doing a parking area for catering food trucks on 46 and Union Road. And he tried it at one time before, and I think it'd be really interesting to initiate it. The reason why I'm speaking of that is every single one of the operators, I said, if you wanted to have a place to have it, where would it be? They said, well, all the townspeople come to see us wherever we are. So if we go out to 46 and Union Road, it'd be a slam dunk. And you know, Brett Butterfield doesn't do anything lightly, so you're talking canopies and all kinds of fun things. I'll leave that up to you, Warren, as a recommendation we get a hold of him. Should I make a comment on that?
Thank you.
Yeah, one more.
I know you don't need any more work, but sorry. But it would really be nice for the group. So
it would be a good idea.
Then I went to a rip-roaring party at the senior barbecue and had a great auction, and the place was packed, and this time the Eagle Scouts and the Scouts operated everything. They kind of missed the firefighters serving the ice cream, but I guess the Eagle Scouts will have to do. And then finally, I was able to attend the groundbreaking down at Echo for their family edition. They received a $3 million grant to build a 7,200-square-foot building for the family's area. And it is being built off-site to save funding, and also it'll save almost 2 years in construction. I thought that was very interesting. And it was very well attended with Don from the Coast and Heather, and also our other senator.
What's that?
Yep. So, but it was really nicely attended, and they're raising $3 million more dollars for that event, and they're well over halfway on that one. So, and thank you. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Steve. For me, I had just one meeting here. It was the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority. We met, and again, working through all the things we have to do, especially the bylaws. We're getting that written up so we can operate properly as a board. Other than that, that's all I had following our last meeting. We do have upcoming events. We have Library Board of Trustees October 9th at 9 o'clock. City facilities are going to be closed in observance of Columbus Day. That's going to be October 13th. Paso Robles Planning Commission meeting October 14th, 6:30. They're going to be over there at the Centennial Park also, aren't you, Warren? Looks like
Nordstrom. Yes, yeah. Starting next. Actually, that meeting is likely to be canceled, but that was scheduled to be their first meeting at Centennial.
Okay. And then we have the Paso Robles Senior Citizens Advisory Committee meetings. That is at out at the seniors. I'm just thinking of looking through all these that might be impacted by our move and our changes here that we're doing with city facilities, but doesn't look like anything. Development Review Committee, where's that going to be held at?
The Norris Room at Centennial.
Yep, okay. That's October 20th. Paso Robles Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting is going to be October 20th, also at 4 p.m. Our next meeting is going to be Paso Robles City Council meeting October 21st, and that, again, is going to be at the Norris Room at Centennial Park. Adjournment. Today's October 7th. 2 years ago, we had a tragedy in Israel that we all need to remember. I think that was pretty horrific. 1,137 people were attacked and killed by the Hamas, and they're still not complete with that. They're trying to get things finished. Hopefully, it sounds like getting close to some sort of an agreement. But I think I'd really like to adjourn, if I can make a motion to adjourn, and then the name of those people.
Second.
That lost their lives. So, okay. Motion by Gregory. Second by Beal. Okay. All right. Very good. All right.
3 seconds.
All in favor. We stand adjourned. Hello?
Aye. Yep. Aye.
Aye. Stand adjourned.
Tonight's Paso Robles City Council meeting on KPRL was brought to you by NCI Affiliates. Visit their convenient post office on Lanay Road, just past Food for Less in Paso Robles. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. We now join our regularly scheduled program in progress.
Like NAD Plus and Methylene Blue. The orders ship to your door in 2 to 4 days. Overnight shipping is available. Doctor's prescription, that's included in the service. Don't wait until supplies run low at your home. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Lars and then use the code LARS10, that's LARS10, for 10% off. Be proactive, not reactive. All Family Pharmacy makes it simple, fast, and reliable. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show. Honestly provocative talk for America.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-948-7878. That's 800-948-7878. 800-948-7878.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
One. Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
This is Elisa with RE/MAX Success on Main Street in downtown Templeton. We have over 50 agents with offices in North and South counties. The market is still robust here. Our agents are looking for more inventory to sell to buyers ready to purchase in San Luis Obispo County. We specialize in residential, ranches, vineyards, commercial, and more. Let the RE/MAX Success team serve you. Go to RE/MAXSuccessTeam.com.
Each RE/MAX office is independently owned and operated.
The Wednesday Farmers Market on East Mall in Atascadero is open from 3 to 5:30 p.m. So much produce available, including raspberries, strawberries, leafy greens, tomatoes, melons, avocados, meats, and so much more. You can even get fresh pressed juice, scones, and tamales. The market takes credit, debit, and EBT cards. If you can't make it to Wednesdays, swing by another North County Farmers Market in Paths Robles on Tuesdays, Templeton on Saturdays, or Baywood on Mondays. Stop by the manager's booth for a KPRL surprise.
Applause Children's Theater seeks to bring an opportunity to perform in Broadway musicals to the youth in the community. They believe all kids deserve to be on stage and all who audition are cast in the show. Find out more about Applause Children's Theater and sponsor a child or show. The performances are at the Christian Life Center on Oak Street in Paso Robles. They hope to have their own building someday. Applause Children's Theater.